bag his brother had carried to Virginia and back. It remained in good shape, except for two Yankee bullet holes, battlefield mended in rough fashion. It contained a change of long-handled underwear, one homespun shirt, and a pair of pants a little shorter than Trey's long legs. On his feet were the only boots he owned, homemade but stout and hog-ugly, with a $10 gold piece sewn into the top of one for emergencies. Hanging in two cotton sacks on either side of the saddle were flour, salt, and coffee beans, a slab of fat bacon, a skillet, and a can to boil coffee in. As for meat, he had no doubt he could live on the results of his marksmanship. That meant rabbit and squirrel now, perhaps venison and buffalo once he passed the heavily settled, heavily hunted East Texas settlements. He had $17 Yankee in his pocket to meet whatever contingencies might arise. All in all, he felt he had a running start toward a career as a cattle baron. His father did not share Trey's optimism. Pap had never taken into proper account that Trey was 4 years younger than his oldest brother and 2 years younger than the next. He had expected Trey to keep up with them in the amount of labor he could accomplish between daylight and dark. Thus, he had rarely acknowledged merit in his third-born son. A pattern of automatic criticism had become too deeply ingrained to change, though Trey had grown to be the tallest and strongest of them all. Trey tried not to let his father's pessimism slow him, but at times the disparaging words burrowed beneath his confidence like a gopher undermining a cornerstone. He needed reassurance from time to time to shore up what Pap had undercut.
You won't get 50 miles with them cows. They'll run off or get stole. You'll come dragging back with the seat of your britches out in your belly thinking your throat's been cut.
Bet you.
Trey had proven Pap's dire predictions wrong in the past, especially since he had finally outreached his brothers in length of leg and arm and hardness of muscle. He was determined to do it again.
I'll ride through hell and out its far side. That'll show him.
He made it 70 miles before he lost the cows. He did not realize how short a trip it could be to hell. At the slow pace the cows set for him, it took about a week. Trey had never known much about law or lawmen. Pap had always figured the less government there was, the better. That started with the county courthouse and held all the way to Washington City. Trey had only a nodding acquaintance with the local sheriff. An officer of the law always made him a little nervous, as if he had done something wrong that he didn't even know about, but the officer did. Beyond that, he found most people friendly, inclined to tarry and jaw a spell. He was not concerned then when a farmer rode up behind him in a buggy whose springs sagged under what must have been 350 pounds of pure lard. The farmer's eyes were half hidden behind a roll of fat at the top of puffy cheeks that vibrated like pudding.
Yeah, where'd you come by these good cows, young fella?
Trey saw no reason not to tell him. On the contrary, he was proud of the fact.
Bought them with the savings from my labor. I'm taking them out west to start me a herd.
Well, no two of them seem to have the same brand.
They come off of four different farms. I ain't figured out a brand of my own yet.
You got any kin in this county? Any friends?
They're all 60, 70 miles behind me. I don't know a soul around here.
He wondered why the farmer seemed pleased at that. Most folks tended to cluck in sympathy at the thought of his passing through a land of strangers, a pilgrim in the wilderness. The farmer pointed.
You stay on the main road. You'll come to a fork a couple of miles farther on. Be sure to bear to the right. I expect you'd like to spend the night in town.
Trey hadn't so far. He had been managing about sundown each evening to find a farmhouse and somebody willing to let him pen his cows for the night. Most of them invited him to supper. In town, they would want money for that.
Thank you, sir.
The man put the large buggy horse into a long trot, laboring on ahead.
Poor horse, that's a heavy load.
The first sign of the town was the courthouse clock tower, standing taller than anything else on the horizon. He estimated that it was an hour to sundown and about that long to the edge of town. He could see a couple of people riding toward him, one on horseback and one in a buggy, but he thought little of it. He was used to meeting travelers along the road. After